Robert, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Our absolute pleasure. Now, just the first question, fairly basic question. What made you want to tell this story? Out of all possible stories, what made you want to tell this one?
Well, Upstairs Inferno is a documentary about what was the largest gay mass murder in U.S. history. That is, of course, until Pulse happened last summer. In 1973, someone deliberately set fire to a gay bar in New Orleans, ultimately killing 32 people. And I wanted to tell the story because no one knew about it. It is, I felt like it was on par with many historical events in LGBT history, Stonewall, Harvey Milk, so on and so forth, but it wasn't part of the common LGBT history narrative in the States, much less anywhere else in the world. So I felt it was very necessary to tell this story, especially while some of the survivors are still alive.
And interestingly enough, speaking of the survivors, I think there was a real effort in this film to avoid focusing on the event itself, the horror of the event. Certainly that was in there. But I think a lot of the focus seemed to be on humanizing the survivors and the way they were not humanized when the event first happened. Was that a big focus of yours?
Absolutely. I didn't want this documentary just to be a stagnant exposition of facts. I wanted to humanize the story because the people who were killed in this fire, their family, their friends, they're more than just names on a plaque or names in a newspaper or a book. These were human beings whose lives were cut short senselessly, and they weren't given the dignity and the honor that they deserved back in 1973. And I wanted to do my best to provide that with telling their story now.
You know, I must say, I found it really fascinating when you first get into it. And at the start of the documentary, a lot of the focus is on first explaining where the survivors were in their lives at that point in time. And I'd have to say a lot of the stories that were coming out of that without knowing the event that was going to be coming up next, I found a lot of those stories were fascinating within themselves.
They are fascinating. They're fascinating people. I mean, it's just, we have such a cross-section of people in the film that I think that no matter who you are, your background, your religious background, your ethnic background, whether you identify as gay, straight, transgender, I think you can relate to people in this film because the people who experience this tragedy experience the same basic human emotions that we all experience, the emotions of family, of faith, of friends, of loved ones, of loss, and how can you not relate with those? And so I think that these people that are in the film, you can really connect with them.
I thought in particular, a really great quote from Regina, who is one of the reoccurring guests in the film, and her story was just absolutely incredibly striking as it goes in. And there's this quote about being in a gay and interracial relationship wasn't easy in the South in the 1970s. And I thought that is such an extraordinary understatement. I would have thought from my own experience that it was just remarkable.
Yes, because, I mean, not only is it a gay interracial relationship, but she also has a transgender part of that as well. Mm. So there were quite a few, the world was was kind of against them, but Regina, I love her to death. She has become one of my closest friends. Her partner was Reggie. His name was Reggie Adams. And after he was killed in the fire, she legally changed her name to Regina Adams to keep him with her for the rest of her life because she calls him her one true love. And she still talks to him every day and still prays to him every day. And that is such a true love story. And you just have to just embrace that.
Yeah, I thought that one was absolutely extraordinary. Looking at the events itself, looking at the upstairs in the club that this was all based around, it was a gay church within a gay bar that was also a big aspect of this. And there's quite a long struggle in the film, in the documentary, to Well, looking at the search for a church that would actually hold a memorial service for the victims of the fire, was it a deliberate choice of yours to focus perhaps on the unnecessary battle between religion and homosexuality, the way in which religion plays into people's lives?
I did not go into making the film with the intent on having religion being such a heavy through line. But as we work through the story, it is religion in and of itself is an incredibly important character in this story. Because as you mentioned, the upstairs lounge at one point did house the church, Metropolitan Community Church of New Orleans, in their upstairs theater. It wasn't, they'd already found a new location by the time of the fire, but oftentimes after church, they would go over to the upstairs lounge and for their beer bust. So, you know, you had a lot of the congregation there at the time of the fire, including clergy, and one third of the Metropolitan Community Church in New Orleans congregation was killed in that fire, including three clergy. And so, you know, that because of the Metropolitan Community Church connection, of course, religion is a huge portion of the story. But then when you have the Catholic Archbishop not even acknowledging this event is still the deadliest fire in New Orleans history. But you have this mass murder and the Archbishop isn't even acknowledging this. The mayor's not acknowledging this. It's as if gay people didn't exist. You had churches refusing to hold memorials because of where these people died, because not everybody was gay. It's just where they died. And so you have this struggle of homosexuality and religion, and it played a huge conflict. But, you know, there were progressive churches like St. Mark's Methodist Church and St. George's Episcopal Church, which opened their doors because, you know what, in the times of death, you look to the church for comfort and for healing. And for a church to turn their back to you and say, hey, we can't bury your loved one, you know, that's just heartbreaking and you know, it's just unfathomable.
It really did seem like a documentary, a story that summed up some of the very best and the very worst of people within itself. Now, unfortunately, this documentary has become tragically rather timely, some 43, 44 years after the events depicted, following, as you mentioned before, the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando back in June of 2016. How does that commonality make you feel?
Sad, honestly. You know, for 43 years, the Upstairs Lounge fire was the largest gay mass murder in U.S. history, and nobody wanted that number to be surpassed. And the mass murder at Pulse happened 12 days before the anniversary of the Upstairs Lounge fire, so they were so close together. And as I was watching the news, as events were unfolding in Orlando, I could just see the parallels between that, what was happening there, and what had happened in New Orleans in 1973. And of course, my heart and thoughts and prayers went out to all the victims and the families in Orlando, but I also started to think about the survivors of the Upstairs Lounge fire, because they're witnessing history repeat itself all over again. And so I reached out to Regina Adams and Reverend Troy Perry, and we talked the day of the mass shooting, and we talked and we cried together, tried to make some sense out of it, because it, in a sense, ripped off the scab, and they're seeing another community go through this horror. However, there is a stark difference that in 1973, many people turned their backs to the community. In 2016, you had the world opening up. You know, around the world, you had vigils for Orlando. You had people donating money, people donating blood. You had the president of the United States, you know, sending his prayers to the family. You know, Nixon wasn't doing that in 1973. The governor of Louisiana didn't even acknowledge it. So, you know, there has been progress, but there was reports that some churches, or one church in particular, refused to bury one of the victims in Orlando because he was gay. So as far as we've come, there's still, you know, there's still work to be done.
I think there's a beautiful message rather early in the documentary itself. United we stand, divided we fall. Robert, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
It is my privilege to tell this story. I am so grateful that so many people trusted me with their memories. So we can keep the memories of those who perished in that fire alive. We can honor them, tell their story, and their story can have their rightful place in history. So I am excited to bring it to Sydney for the Australian premiere, host the Q&A there. I welcome everybody to come on Saturday at 4:30. I will see you there.
Absolutely. Robert, thank you very much. Best of luck with it.
Thank you very much.